Oh, that's right. We're right here, 4:07 in the afternoon. Hey, I'm Ann Eller, and I have a real treat for you today. In fact, though, I think I got the best treat today, folks, because I have a chocolate Coca-Cola cake sitting here on the table. And I have Heidi Troll here from Grits and Groceries, so you know it's got to be good. Heidi, how you doing today?
Super. But not only is that a chocolate Coca-Cola cake, but it's still a warm chocolate Coca-Cola cake.
Okay, folks, let's go to a long commercial break. We'll be back. No, I'm just teasing. But Heidi, how are you doing today?
I'm really good. If you could make the rain stop for a couple hours, I'd be ecstatically good.
I couldn't agree with you more. Now, I understand you were on vacation for a couple of weeks, and you were asking who's going to stop the rain, I guess.
I did. I thought it would be a great idea to take an 8-year-old and 3 horses camping in the mountains in the rain. Turns out that's not such a good idea.
Of course, you didn't anticipate the rain when you made all those, did you?
No, I felt sure that it would, you know, not rain on my party.
Yeah, exactly.
But it did.
But where are you originally from?
I grew up in Sumter, South Carolina. I'm a Carolina girl. And surprised my family by marrying what they consider a Yankee. Joe's from North Carolina.
Ooh, that's way up north,
isn't it? It is. Winston-Salem. So.
But where did you go to school?
I went to the University of South Carolina until they politely asked me to find alternative education, is the phrase I believe my guidance counselor used. So then I went to Johnson & Wales and started the cooking program there. I worked in a restaurant in Myrtle Beach, and the chef thought that that would be a perfect fit for me, and she took me to Charleston and introduced me to the school.
Wow. So she must have really believed in you.
Well, she said, if you don't leave Myrtle Beach, you'll be a fat drunk that works in a restaurant the rest of your life.
That was nice of her to help you out here, wasn't it? Yeah. But so you went to Charleston, and I guess you must have liked that.
I did. I loved Charleston. Sumter's not far from Charleston, so it was always kind of our backyard. And so I went to cooking school. I thought, this will be great. There'll be no homework. You know, the testing will be just cooking. I can do that. Totally wrong. A lot of work, a lot of studying, a lot of testing and state mandate testing. So, you know, I finished that. And then I went in onto an apprenticeship program that I kind of just picked myself. I found restaurants that I'd read about or interested in and kind of traveled around working for an apprenticeship fee, which is usually nothing. Mm-hmm. For about 5 years, and found lots of different interesting types of food.
What was your favorite type of food?
I'll tell you, I spent a summer in Greece, and that had to be fabulous. The food is so fresh and minimal. You know, it's a roasted chicken with roasted potatoes and, you know, tomatoes and cucumbers but everything is perfect. Everything about it is freshest, most perfect, best olive oil. And you get to sit on a beach and eat it.
What could be better than that?
You know, the first time I ordered a Bloody Mary on a beach in Greece, and the lady took a cucumber, a tomato, some celery, and an onion, and threw it into a juice extractor and poured vodka on top of it. I was like, I may never leave.
Yeah, that had to be pretty darn good.
It was.
Yes, there you go. Instead of tomato juice out of a can, huh?
Yep. Yeah. I think it's really funny. I grew up on a farm, and my dad's family were all very good cooks, and I used to be embarrassed over having homemade food. You know, like my grandmother made ketchup, and I thought, oh, if somebody comes over, please don't let them see the homemade ketchup. Please, can we please buy a bottle of ketchup to have for company? And, you know, now it's so trendy, and, you know, I'm quite proud that we make ketchup and jellies and jams, so I've made the full circle.
Made the full circle. Well, you know, that sounds pretty neat, but you went to... Now, you met your husband, I guess, in North Carolina, right?
I did. I did an apprenticeship at an inn in the mountains of North Carolina called the Glendale Springs Inn. It's still there. I think they have a different owner now. And it was a really neat experience. The lady that owned it was a retired Broadway producer who had no concept how to run a business. So everything about it was fabulous, except that we never got paid. But we had a grower that grew our vegetables, a trout fisherman that went out and caught our trout every day,
wow.
A full bakery. You know, it's just a great learning experience. It also learned a lot about how not to do things in business. But you know,
sometimes that's as helpful as doing it just from the beginning.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. Now, how did you meet your hubby?
He was, when I went to do the apprenticeship at Glendale Springs, he was there, and like I said, he had a girlfriend, and I had a boyfriend, so we just flirted with each other, and then I moved away and worked in a couple of other places, and eventually came back to the Boone area up in North Carolina, bumped back into him, said, you know, maybe I'll try a nice guy for a change and see what it's like, instead of all the Casanovas, and it's worked out pretty good for me so far.
That's pretty cool. Now, he is a pastry chef, basically, yes?
He is trained in culinary arts, but the thing he likes the most is pastry. He's very calm, even-tempered, methodical, and that's what it takes to make great pastries and desserts, whereas I'm wild, crazy, fly off the handle, run around and scream, so I'm the other end of the food. You know, I open the refrigerator and go, what are we going to have today? Let's see.
And you just kind of put it together.
Yeah, and Joe has to have it planned out and organized, and it has to be very precise. So he makes our sauces and jellies and jams and pickles because, you know, if you do that wrong, you kill someone. So
exactly.
So we let him take care of all of that.
Now, he worked for Emeril, right?
Mm-hmm. We both did.
Yeah.
He was Emeril's pastry chef at the restaurant Nola in New Orleans for 10 years. And I was there for a couple of years, and I did private party. I was the chef for private parties and worked on the line there. That was just a really great working experience. Emeril was fabulous to us. He still is. He wears our t-shirts when he flies. We always make sure he has a fresh stock of them. I had someone come in from Hawaii that said, I saw Emeril wearing your t-shirt on the golf course in Hawaii, and I had to ask him about it. And so here we are. So they had flown.
Why does he do that? That's pretty cool.
He's just a great guy. He is really just a great, nice person. People expect a celebrity to not be as nice as they are on TV, but he is just super nice. I tell you, he had a guy that worked for him as a dishwasher who had dropped out of high school. And he said, if you go back to high school and finish high school, I will pay for you to do whatever you want. And that guy is now Emeril's main corporate chef.
Wow.
So he stayed with him, and Emeril kept his word and did everything he was supposed to with him. And, you know, it's great that he's that kind of person, and he's really been nice to us as well.
Well, that's terrific. You know, if you could be flying on a plane or, you know, wherever mm-hmm. he's at, see him with one of your t-shirts on, that has to bring you probably more business sometimes than you know.
Yep, or at least, really interesting business. Because like I said, these people came in from Hawaii and were in Charlotte for some reason, so they drove over from Charlotte.
Now, they had to be kind of shocked when they drove up to your place.
I think everybody's a little shocked when they drive up to our place. I've heard people, particularly people read about us and hear about us, and then when they come, they're a little surprised that we have $1.99 tablecloths and, styrofoam cups, and there's nothing fancy about Grits and Groceries. And we try to take all of our money that we would spend on fluff and put it into the food so that we can have the best ingredients and pay the people that we buy our food from a fair price for it too.
Sure. Now, for those that don't know where it is, where are you located at?
Well, we're actually the center of the universe. We're at Sailor's Crossroads, which is the corner of 185 and 284 in Anderson County. So we're halfway between Due West and Anderson. And for some reason, we are the baby drop-off point between Greenwood grandmamas and Anderson grandmamas, because they all meet Sunday afternoon at Sailor's Crossroad and trade babies back with mamas and daddies. So we feel like we know the community just by watching the baby swaps and how they grow and the car seats change. It's been fun.
Interesting. All right. Well, we are here with Heidi Troll with Grits and Groceries. If you've got a question, don't hesitate to give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Right now, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. Right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, we have Heidi Troll here with us with Grits and Groceries. If you haven't ever been to their place, it's worth the trip, let me tell you. It's an experience. But I think, first I want to talk about, you lived in New Orleans and had your own restaurant down there for a period of time. And what made you decide to leave? I mean, it was very successful.
It was. Yeah, I wonder where we would be now. Except that little Katrina storm happened, and so who knows what would have happened there. We actually, I had a baby close to 40 years old. I thought it was the flu that wouldn't go away. And I realized that it was going to be a fortune to send him to school, and I just didn't want to work for school.
Because of living in New Orleans.
Right. The public school system was not one you would consider sending your child to before Katrina. It's a lot better now after Katrina. And then the Catholic schools were all full if you weren't Catholic, and Baptists didn't get front row in the Catholic schools. And so the next step up was the country day school, and I went out and did some volunteer work and realized it was going to be $10,000 a year for kindergarten. And then I'd have to get a new car and new clothes. I'd have to jog. I'd have to do all those kind of things that I don't like, and make sure we had the right haircuts. Right. So we decided that we would just move and come back later to New Orleans when Tom was older, if that's what we wanted.
And you put your restaurant on the market figuring it would take a year.
Yep. Yeah. I thought, it'll take a year. We'll have some time to figure it out. I've got this sweet little baby. And a guy walked in and wrote a check and asked me for the keys and told me I was welcome to leave then. And I said, wow. I said, I'll wait. I'll sell it to somebody else. I'm really not that ready. And I learned quickly in the real estate world that you don't refuse a sale, that's not your option.
Right.
So we left, and then I learned that you have to spend all the money that you make in a sale or lose 50% of it in taxes in 45 days. So we jumped in the car with our precious new baby, and we drove around. Okay. And our goal was to find something in a three-hour radius of Joe's home in Winston-Salem and my home from Sumter. And so we called all of our cousins and said, you each have 2 days to show us what your town has to offer. So we did these two-day tours of, Manning, South Carolina, Maysville, Winston-Salem, all the little towns around Winston up in the mountains. We looked in Asheville again. We used to live in Asheville before we moved to New Orleans. So we kind of looked all over. And everywhere we went, we kind of drove by this point at Sailor's Crossroad, getting to other places. And then one day we drove by and there was a for sale sign up, and I said, I think this is my place. So we called the real estate agent. I walked inside it's a 120-year-old country store that, used to be the super big box store of its day. If there wasn't anything that you didn't want, that you couldn't get there.
You didn't need it.
So it also had the first radio station in Anderson County that went with it.
Wow. Well, now I'm really impressed. Yep. Here. Yes.
So I walked inside the store, fell in love with it, told my husband to write a check. This was my new home.
And you didn't even see the house you would be living in or any. You didn't care about any of that, right?
For the people that love where we are, if I had looked in the house, we might not have stayed. Because it had pink carpet and pink walls. And anybody who knows me knows I am not a pink person. So luckily, but it had everything I needed. It had a place for horses. One of the best schools is a mile away that Tom would go to school. We're close to Erskine College. I can't even think that far ahead, but, there are a lot of great options right there for us. We're close to Clemson. We've got, Greenville is 45 minutes.
Sure. So, but who would have thought as you were driving around that place would be it, right?
Yeah, well, things just speak to me, and I know that's what I want when I see it. I don't have to, my husband likes to really think and plan. I'm like, we'll try this one. And if it doesn't work, we'll try the one over there next. But luckily, this worked.
And I think a lot of your friends and family said, this will never work, right?
Never. They actually laughed and had little secret meetings and said, no one will ever come here. So luckily for us, that was not the case. And we've had a very big support there. When we first opened, it was just before the economy tanked. So the first 2 years were just gangbusters. And I said, woo, I'm a genius. I've made a great decision. But a lot of our customers were people that were working, doing construction. Mm-hmm. So then the next year happened, and those workers lost their jobs or went to 4-day work weeks or went out of town to work. So we spent a year or two trying to figure out if we should reformat, what to do, hoping that the economy would come back. And so this last year we did reformat a little bit. We got rid of some of our breakfast during the week and consolidated that time to a Thursday night supper. So we still get to spend a lot of time with our son at the end of the day, but people can come and enjoy Thursday nights.
That's good. That's good. Well, we just had a call. They wanted to know, which side of Due West are you? And also, what is that website there or Facebook page that you have?
Now, is that a Due West joke or a real question?
No, it's a question from somebody that lives in McCormick.
Okay.
Okay, so they're coming from McCormick.
From McCormick, they would come up 28 and turn on to Trail Road. You wouldn't actually go into Due West.
Yeah, it's kind of jacked.
But we're on the Anderson side of Due West. But we have a lot of people that come from McCormick, from Savannah Lakes.
That's where she lives.
Yeah. And you take that 28, like you're going to Anderson. But then just before you get into the main part of Anderson, you'll turn on Trail Road. Yeah. If you look at our website, which is gritsandgroceries.com, there are directions from that area.
You have to give directions from just about everywhere, don't you?
Well, that's why I say we're the center of the universe. If you look at the sign in front of the restaurant, it's 9 miles to anywhere. Now, there is one place where there are 7 miles, and I think that they've mismeasured, and I want the state to change that sign because I think it's 9 miles to anywhere.
All right. You should have called it 9 miles to everything.
That's right.
Go. All right. Well, gritsandgroceries.com is the website, so you can look it up there. Cindy, thanks for calling in this afternoon. And once you've been there, you know, you'll just have to go back. Now, one of the things that is very interesting about what you do there is that you actually grow your own beef.
We do. We try to grow. Our goal is 80% with a 100-mile radius. So we either grow it, we have someone local grow it for us, or we start, you know, under 100. We start in our circle and work our way out. I mean, we can't buy aluminum foil and plastic wrap within a 100-mile radius of production, but you know, anything else that we can. We have a man who refurbished his wife's old grits mill, mm-hmm. family's old grits mill, and so we have their grits, the Woods Mills. Penny Parisi out of Abbeville grows probably about 50% of our produce, and then we have about 10 other growers that grow the rest for us. We have a lady, Susan Busby, who picks our blueberries, and she's so funny. She tastes each tree to decide which one to pick from that day, to pick the sweetest berries, as opposed to a mass producer who rakes them on the ground and then puts them in little containers.
Wow.
We get our milk from Edgefield. It's low-temp pasteurized local milk. Mm-hmm. He passes by us every day going to Clemson, so we get it every other day fresh. And then the same thing with our – we keep one pig every 3 months. We process one pig. And so our pig is 100% Grits and Groceries recycled.
Grits and Groceries recycled. That's pretty cool. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how the beef is so good over there. But I'm going to save that for when we come back after the news. But, you know, what is your favorite thing to cook? If you had to say, this is my favorite dish to cook, what is it?
You know, that's always been the most popular question. And I always say, whatever you're paying me to cook is my favorite thing to cook.
As spoken like a true capitalist here today.
That's right.
You know, one of the things that you have learned in being in business is that, and a lot of people don't understand, everybody thinks, oh, wow, you work with your husband, so great, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Having been in the same position, I work with Jeff every day, and it's tough, isn't it?
It's tough, but we get along really well. We have a divider point in the kitchen. He stays on his side, and I stay on my side. And the way we do our 50-50 is I run the restaurant, I am the boss. And he owns the building. He is the landlord. I pay him rent. So if we have an argument, it's the business doesn't get mixed up in it. You know, I am the supreme boss
within the restaurant.
But if I make the landlord mad, I don't have a place to be the boss.
So that I can see, because you're the fiery one, that pulls you back from the very edge.
It does.
Sometimes the reality check checks in, correct?
That's right.
Yes. So do you have an actual line right down the middle of the building?
We have a refrigerator that has just always been kind of the dividing point. I can't see over it,
okay.
And he can't see around it, so it's the perfect dividing point. Now, I have taken salt and drawn a line with salt across the floor, but that's usually for someone else's use, not mine.
Okay. All right. Well, we are here with Heidi Troll from Grits and Groceries. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Heidi. Hey, if you got any more questions, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. News is up. We'll be back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Sharp Facets Gallery. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, I'm here with Heidi Troll. For any of you that have been to Grits and Groceries at, Sailor's Crossing?
Sailor's Crossroads, yeah.
Crossroads. It's an interesting drive. You go, tell us again how you get there from, let's talk about from Greenwood here, how you get there.
Well, from your door to our restaurant is 38 minutes.
38 minutes.
So don't think it's far away.
Right.
You go to Due West and then follow the Due West Road to Anderson, and we're halfway between Due West and Anderson. So that's the corner of 185 and 284.
It's pretty easy to find, you know. It seems like, you know, if you're used to doing stuff on the bypass here, it's not really that much out of the way, but it is, like you said, 38 minutes, that's nothing. Yeah.
We have a lot of people say they can, that work in downtown Anderson, say that they can come to us and eat lunch, a fresh cooked meal, faster than they can go somewhere on the bypass in Anderson and have fast food.
Wow.
So,
and it would be really good food.
That's right.
That's right.
So I'm guessing from Greenwood, that's a little far of a stretch for a lunch break. But, you know, maybe if you bring your boss with you for lunch, you can take the extra 30 minutes.
And impress him too, right?
Right.
Now, what type of, we were talking about you always have a pig on hand, and then there is the...
And my cows.
And you're the Cow of the Month Club. That's what I wanted to talk about next. You go through really one cow a month, right?
We do. What I have a deal with a man who owns a pasture near me, and so I agree to 12 cows, and I like to pick them and decide which ones I like and, you know, pet them and talk to them. A lot of people say, how can you name your food? I said, well, you know, I'm very personal with my food. So every 30 days, we bring one in from the pasture and feed it a mixture of corn and grain and broken M&Ms.
Why the broken M&Ms?
Well, when I was a kid, my granddaddy always had us feed the animal before we slaughtered it, the pecan swirls and the honey buns from the day-old store.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my job, was to unwrap them and smash them up for the pigs and the cows to eat. So he always said it marinated them from the inside. And I like to follow that tradition.
Okay. What do you think it does to the meat from the cow?
Well, for one thing, if I got to eat a 5-gallon bucket of M&Ms every day, I would be happy. So I think my cow is just happier before he goes to the butcher.
And anything else that you think it does?
Well, the reason that we do it, the reason we bring them in for 30 days is to kind of get the gamey taste out of them, because although people think they like grass-fed beef, we have found that they really don't. So we bring them in for 30 days and feed them this mixture, and then it also thickens up their fat so that when we grind the meat, the fat blends in better. And what we do is we take the whole cow and we pull just the ribeyes and the New York strips out, and the rest is made into ground beef. So when you eat a hamburger at Grits and Groceries, you're eating, you know, more of a chopped steak than a junk burger from the grocery store.
Have you ever asked one of your cows how it feels to know that they only have 30, 29, 28 days left and they're having this good food? I mean, you know, do they ever say, like, you know, am I near the end or something here?
Have you talked to a cow much? Because they're not that smart.
Not that smart.
The pigs are really smart, but the cows, they're not that smart.
They don't. They don't realize what's going to come their way.
They're just, you know, like a... I'm happy. Ooh, M&M's, yummy, yummy. You want me to get in the trailer? Okay. Now, with the pig, it's a totally different thing.
What does the pig do here?
The pig knows what's going to happen. And the last week or two, we feed them a little more sweeter food. I try to make sure they get plenty of grits and things blended in really well. But then I start sweetening up with the leftover cakes and ice creams the last week of the piggy's life. And when they start
sounds like being on death row. Final meal here, folks.
And well, we also try to pet the pigs every day and make sure they stay calm and nice, relaxed pigs. And I think that makes the hams better.
Okay.
So when we try to load up the pigs, they don't go. Now, they will get on that trailer every day until it's time to take them to the butcher. They know. They absolutely know. So the first pig we took, one of the boys that works for me, we ran that pig around until he passed out. And then I thought, well, this is great. We're going to drag him on the trailer. Well, it turns out you cannot pick up a 250-pound pig that's passed out.
So, they're really dead weight.
It's true. So I have a really great neighbor who hauls animals for a living, and he comes down when it's time to load the pig. And he says the key is to convince the pig that he wants to go in the trailer, not that you want him to go into the trailer. And this aggravates me. He comes, he looks at the pig, and he says, "Load up." And the pig jumps in the trailer.
He and says, "No food or anything."
And
in there,
I said, "How do you get him to do that?" And he said, "I told him we're going to Disney."
Oh, these are great stories.
So, and you know what pig wouldn't be happy to go to Disney?
Right, exactly.
I'd jump on the trailer if he told me we were going to Disney.
All right. Well, there you go. You are learning secrets of the I was going to say the Yaya sister.
I'll tell you a funny story. When the first pig we did was my son's 4-H project, and it was a market project. The pig had to have an end. You got right. The babies, and I had to have an end sure. With a financial end, and he had to document everything. So his teacher at school called me. She said she was very concerned because Tom kept talking about eating his pet, and the pig's name was Girl Scout at that. And I said, well, you know, it's actually a livestock animal. But he does have to show it, so he has to walk it every day and teach it how to walk with him. And she said, well, I find that very disturbing because, you know, that he knows it and pets it and he's going to eat it. And I said, well, we raise all of our food. So, you know, so where do you think those chicken fingers come from? So the grocery store. So, but then my favorite was for the pig show. He was really just a year too young to be doing this, and he really couldn't handle his pig that well. But the pigs love cornbread. So I took cornbread and stuffed it in his back pocket, and that way the pig just followed him everywhere he went at the pig show. So he turned out pretty good. What mothers won't do to get their kids in first place.
Absolutely. Well, that you know, that's terrific. Who knew that if you told a pig you're going to Disney that they'll jump right in
Absolutely.
The trailer? You know, you just don't know what you're going to learn on this show. Hal Bennett, did you start your, do you make homemade ice cream?
We do.
Yes. And can you get it to go?
We'll pack it to go. We have it in half-pint cups that we sell at the farmer's market in Anderson, and then Joe will pack it into whatever size you want. If you're going to take a lot to go, it's better if you call ahead so he can pack it and let it get solid. Mm-hmm. Because if you're leaving our place to go home, you're not close.
Sure.
So, but like today, he's making peach and chocolate and... I think he was making watermelon, but I'm not sure. When I left the restaurant,
ice cream?
He does. We take fresh watermelons and squeeze all the juice out of them and make a watermelon sorbet, I guess you'd say, instead of an ice cream.
Wow. Okay. And then Jane says, do you do your green tomatoes like the... Let's see. I'm not sure I understand this. Do you do green tomatoes like the honey bun story? She does... She does family that way. Oh.
She finds her family up with him?
I guess so. So do you do green tomatoes?
We do. The green tomatoes have just started coming in right now, so we'll have them this week. I just got a box in from Penny this week, and they're pretty popular usually. A lot of times we fry them and stuff them with pimento cheese. Mm-hmm. I think you put pimento cheese on anything, it's good.
Well, you know, that is a big thing about your menu, though. It's constantly changing, isn't it?
It is. It changes every week, and then within that, it changes every day with what comes in, what I like, what we have. We list our two specials on the website, but then the soups, the salads, and the entrees, I pretty much open the refrigerator and say, what can I make with this?
Wow.
And I always say, if you see something you want, order it, because you may never see it again. I may never have that combination of things ever again.
That's pretty cool. So you can go to your website, gritsandgroceries.com. You post the and you also post, here's another thing you may not know, but they come to Greenwood on Wednesdays.
On Wednesdays from 10 to 2. We're on Maxwell Street across from the pizza place.
Mm-hmm. Mills House.
Mills House Pizza mm-hmm. Place. And we sell prepared foods. Everything has to be prepared and chilled for DHEC. And it's in a microwave container, so you take it home and pop it in the microwave, and they're all designed to be a dinner for two.
Wow.
And I usually send about four different entrees, four different salads, tomato pies, quiches, cookies, cakes, pies, and my husband Joe and Kathy come and do that every Wednesday from 10 to 2.
10 to 2. So put that on your calendar, Wednesdays, 10 to 2. You will be able to get some good food from Grits to Groceries, and you won't have to go anywhere. You can just pick it up right there, take it home that night, and be prepared. You were telling me some people buy it for the whole rest of the week.
Yeah, Joe says it's really cute that people come with their list, and we post what we're bringing as close that we can on Monday. And so people come with their list. I want two of this, two of that, and two of this. And they have their dinners planned out. Or, you know, it's great if you're taking a dinner to someone since it's designed for two. So we've been the bereavement meal a lot this summer. I said, people are going to see us coming and say, oh, no, someone died.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So they are there on Maxwell at the Farmers Markets Uptown, 10 to 2 on Wednesday. So you need to go by and see them there. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with Heidi Troll. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime. From Mother Earth with love, a diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276. Oh, that's right. Right back here, 4:50 in the afternoon. I think we actually are seeing a little sun out there, folks. And I think we're supposed to have a little sun tomorrow, so maybe we will. That 20% chance of rain, though, today, boy, we blew right past that.
We did.
Yes. But, you know, I know we're supposed to be happy about the rain, but I'll tell you what.
There is a limit, though.
If Gracie doesn't get out and run pretty soon, she's getting very, very cranky. Her muscles are just like, I got to run.
I tell you, and Hodges coming here from our place, the DOT was out putting up blocks because the roads were flooded in some low points.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it is just phenomenal what we've had, but we cannot need any more water, although we can always use water, but it is about time for us to have some sunshiny weather and at least dry some of this up a little bit, I think would be nice. But you are at Grits and Groceries. Heidi Troll is here today with us. She and her husband have a unique store right there at Sailor's Crossroads. So you've got to go see them. And if you haven't been there, now what hours are you actually open?
Well, they're difficult to remember, but easy. We serve lunch Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 10 to 2. Then Thursday night, we serve dinner from 5 to 9. And Friday and Saturday, we serve breakfast and lunch from 9 to 2.
So that's pretty easy. I mean, I have not had been there for a lunch or a dinner, but I have had your breakfast there, and they are quite awesome.
Well, I love breakfast.
Yeah. So if you really want to go have a unique experience, you got to go there. Be prepared, though. Now, you were telling me what? You serve 400 people?
On Saturdays, we average 350 to 400 people. And I don't know where they come from. It happens so fast. We open up our outside and have plenty of dining outside. One thing, though, we are no credit cards. So
no
I love
cards.
The look on people's face when we say cash or check. They're like, what? And, you know, I do accept children that are old enough to work in payment.
I understand that, yes.
But
although I'm not sure that'd be a really good deal, you know, because then they grow up and you have to deal with them.
That's true.
So how does your son, Tom, he's 8 years old,
he's
is that
eight.
Right?
He is.
Yeah. And how do you think he has flourished in this whole environment?
Well, he's funny. He's very shy at first, but he loves the restaurant. He's very connected to it. And this summer we actually gave him his own business. He sells ice cream and lemonade at the Anderson Area Farm and Food Exchange Market that we do on Tuesday nights in Anderson. Mm-hmm. And other than the fact that he can't count change back very well, he really enjoys it and enjoys talking to the people. He realizes that what we do is important and, you know, where the food comes from. I try to really make him be part of everything since he is the reason that we're here.
Sure.
And as far as I know, he loves it. I'm hoping he does whatever he wants and doesn't think that he has to be in the restaurant business because it is for very special, crazy people.
It is. And, you know, one of the things that I think is so interesting is, and you and I were talking about this before we went on the air, everybody thinks that everybody is into wanting to know where their food comes from and this type of thing. But that really is a movement for not everybody, isn't it?
Well, I would like for everybody to be interested in it, but I feel like it's an economic luxury to know where your food comes from. One of the things that I like to do is we have a gardener that we work with, and I ask them to plant an extra row, and then we give that to the food bank. And I think that that's really important to not just buy for yourself, but you know, if you can contribute to somebody else and make sure that they have good food so that they are more interested in it.
And when we look at food and everything, we were talking about chicken fingers.
Chickens don't have fingers.
Are you sure?
I have never seen a chicken strip either.
Chicken strip?
I have never seen a chicken strip, and they do not have fingers. So we do not have those items at Grits and Groceries.
Tell me your story about the lady and the chicken fingers. That is so cool.
We had a family of eight that came in, and one of the eight was a four-year-old, and when we told them we don't have chicken fingers or chicken nuggets, they all got up to leave. And I said, you know, what's the matter? And they said, well, my child will only eat chicken fingers. And I said, so a four-year-old is controlling seven adults, and they got up and left. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. I make sure that my son knows that chickens don't have fingers.
Well, and one of the things that you said was you told him you would cook a chicken breast or
right.
You would cook something.
We have a fresh, natural chicken. It's not organic, but it's a natural fresh chicken. I told him I'd be happy to fry him a chicken breast, and they said no, that they only ate chicken nuggets and chicken fingers. And I tell you what, I worked at McDonald's when I was in high school, and I was on the opening team for the chicken nugget phenomenon. That was in the 80s, and I was the one of the team members for the opening chicken nugget sales, and we were introduced to chicken nuggets and all the cool things you could do with chicken nuggets. And they weren't my favorite then, and they still aren't now. So.
Well, you know, it does take all kinds. But, you know, knowing where your food comes from, and the more you read about processed food and all the additives and this type of thing, and the curative powers that they're finding for what good food can do for you, it really makes a difference, too.
Well, even if you're not concerned about the food you eat, think about the neighbor that grows it. I mean, our goal is to keep our money in our community. So if I pay a little more and buy my produce from somebody local, and you don't have to eat a tomato in December. You know, you should eat tomatoes in the summer when tomatoes are good, and you should buy them from somebody that grows them or from a farmer's market, or, you know, work with a neighbor and plant a garden together. I remember that when we were kids. My mom worked at Cooper Tools, and we had a big farm, so she would plant a big garden, and then people from her office would come out and pick and take what they wanted or needed. And sure. So it was a great community time, too, but it kept all of our money local.
Well, I think that's really important, too. And, you know, when you think about all the farmers and everything that are in our area, there certainly is a lot of opportunity to work with. And in our area, we even have what they call community gardens. We have a lot of those through Healthy Neighborhoods that have become very popular, people working as a group to grow a garden.
Well, I'll tell you, the hospital here in Greenwood really puts their money where their mouth is, too. I think they have a lot of incentives for their employees to buy from the farmers markets and contribute to the local economy. So I'm very happy for the hospital here to do that.
Sure. There are all kinds of ways. And you're right. Now, do you ever can anything, or does all your stuff to be fresh, fresh, fresh?
Joe is the canning guy. Like
he's
I said, he's the meticulous one. And so we let him do all the canning because he has his little thermometers and his timers and all the things that keep you from dying from botulism. And I actually, my dad's family had a walk-in closet the size of my bedroom that if the world would have ended 20 years ago, we could still live off what was in it. They canned everything.
They did.
And so I love that taste, and, you know, that to me says home.
Sure. And, of course, you know, there are a lot of people, the doomsday preppers, prepping all their stuff to get ready for the end of the world. So who knows? But, you know, canning. I was very surprised. We have Rhonda Matthews come on from the Clemson Exchange.
Right.
And she is just in such high demand with not everybody, but a large group of people wanting to can and know how to process food and keep it. In fact, we even did a pickle video on how to make pickles right here in the kitchen.
Okay.
Exactly. So there are
everything old becomes new again.
Yeah, exactly. Who would have thought that that's where we would be, and who thought that bell bottoms and all that kind of stuff would come back in too?
Well, one of the pickles that we make that I love, my granddaddy used to make Jerusalem artichoke pickles with a mustard base, mm-hmm. and that is the thing that says home to me the most. And so we actually have to go all the way to Orangeburg to find Jerusalem artichokes. So my brother will go down and pick up a couple bushels for me and bring them back. And we spend 2 days making Jerusalem artichoke pickles in this mustard base that my granddaddy always made. And they're so good.
You know, it's great to have those type of flavors and to be able to reproduce them today, isn't it?
It is.
It is. Well, you know, if you want to have a true dining experience, you got to go to Grits and Groceries. They are, tell them again where you're at.
We're on the corner of 185 and 284, which is halfway between Due West and Anderson.
That's right. So it is Sailor's Crossroad. It is an experience. You got to go there. You got to try it. If you can't get there, though, you can on Wednesdays go right there to the Farmer's Market on Maxwell. You're there from
10 to 2.
10 to 2. And you bring all kinds of entrees, desserts, salads that you can plan the rest of the week.
That's right. You could never cook again, but still contribute to your community.
Well, Heidi, it's been a real pleasure having you here today. I certainly hope we'll have you back again, because this has been a lot of fun talking about food, grits and groceries, and the life of a culinary artist.
That's right.
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Thanks so much. Right now it's time for the news. Heidi, thanks so much for
coming
today.
Bye-bye.